welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Kieran.
Hello.
Shannon.
Hello.
And making his return, Brody.
Hello.
Good to be back. How are you doing, Brody? What's been going on?
Emerged from the sun.
What have I been doing?
What have you been playing? What games have you been playing in your absence?
Well, Children of the Sun, for one, which the review just came out, so go read that. Harold Halibut. I've been playing a lot of Balatro?
Oh, yeah.
Balatro. That's a bit of an addictive game, that. And just been watching a lot of wrestling, because it's been WrestleMania season, so a lot of that.
Was WrestleMania really all it, like, was it... Did it live up to the hype? Like, I feel like I've seen lots of people talking about it like it was some sort of Avengers Endgame moment. Is that an appropriate comparison?
Look, that's a dramatic way of putting it, I suppose. But it feels like the culmination of, like, say, 4 to 5 years of, like, pretty decent storytelling in wrestling, like with the Roman Reigns Tribal Chief stuff and the Bloodline. So, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. Night one was a little mid, but night two was pretty good. So,
okay,
it was up there.
Cool. What was the game you said you reviewed? I've already blanked.
Children of the Sun.
Yeah. Children of the Sun. How was that? Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it a lot. News came out today that it's not selling so hot. So if you're after a game, Kieran brought it to my attention that I used the term, it's like a score attack gauntlet. Like, it's very similar to like Neon White, and it has that very satisfying leaderboard chase core loop to it. It's not exactly the same in terms of gameplay. Like, it's not a platforming, acrobatic shooting game like that. It's more you skirt the perimeter of an area. You have to, like, it's almost like Sniper Elite meets something like Neon White. Like, you basically play as a bullet that gets fired out of a gun, and then every time you impact, you get to, like, change your trajectory, and you've got to try and take everyone out in a level. Like, it's really addictive trying to find, like, the best paths through things and, yeah, just hunting those people in the leaderboard. It's a addictive game, and I really hope that it does find an audience, because we really want these console ports. We want them bad.
Okay, cool. I knew nothing about this game up until this moment, and that actually sounds really cool.
And I don't think it's that expensive. I think it's maybe like $20.
Yeah.
Or just over $20 or something like that. Like, so, yeah, it's worth a dip.
It's a Devolver Digital special as well, right?
I wasn't going to say it, because I feel like people would just know, Brody's just saying it because it's Devolver. But and look, that's partly true. But no, it is really good.
There's a certain style to the games that they pick. I don't think that's, like, crazy to have an affinity with their published games. Anyhow, we better crack on. We do have plenty to talk about this week, including a new Prince of Persia game, Star Wars Outlaws, and the future of Dead Space. But first, Brody, I'm going to come right back at you, because you have been busy watching the Fallout TV series. If I'm not mistaken, you've actually seen all of the episodes, right?
All 8. Yes, I have. Yeah.
All 8. Very cool. Obviously, as you're watching / listening to this, there's only the first episode out on Amazon at the moment. I think it's...
They're all out.
They're all out?
Yeah.
Really? Huh. Okay, cool. My weekend plans just changed. I swear, like, when I looked at it, it was just the first episode. But okay, nice. Awesome. Well, I'm going to go and binge them later on. But Brody, you've already done that. How did you rate the season as a whole?
I thought it was really fun. It's much better than I expected it would be. Like, I don't know what I was expecting. I knew they weren't going to riff off the game, the games themselves, and they were going to do an original story, which I guess gave me a little bit of pause. But I think what they've delivered is actually pretty good. Like, it's probably even comparable to the ones that you'd get from, like, say, Fallout 3 or 4. The new characters are great. It's all really well acted. The only thing I'd say is maybe, like, the more esteemed actors that they have in the show, like your Kyle MacLachlans and your Michael Emersons and stuff, they don't really, you know, they're not around a lot. But like the new cast, like Ella Purnell and stuff, who I've never seen her before, but she's been in things like, what's it called? Is it something Jackets? Yellow Jackets,
yep.
Which is a show I've not seen. But yeah, she does a great job as the lead. It's just a fun thing. There's so much fan service. It's crazy. Like, I was, like, just constantly noticing, like, little things, and I'd, like, turn to Katie because we were watching it, and I'd say, that's from the game.
You were that
and
guy.
I was that guy. She was well over it by the end. But, just a lot of fun. I think that's where I sort of separate it from The Last of Us, because I mean, this is getting pretty good reviews as well, but obviously The Last of Us was very solemn, it was very grave, very serious, whereas this can have those moments, but it's still just on the whole just really fun. Like, the soundtrack is so good, like it's very era appropriate, like just 50s like little bops like you'd get on your Pip-Boy walking around Washington in Fallout 3, and like pretty much every time they have like a big action sequence, like they do like the Zack Snyder slow-mo and like have like one of those songs playing over it, so there's like a level of levity to it. But when it does get action-based as well, though, it doesn't shy away from like gore at all. Like, it is, it's pretty full-on. Like, people like get blown to bits.
Which, can I just say, like, I feel as video game adaptations are becoming like more of a thing, they all seem so violent, and I'm just like so worried it's not doing the arguments around like violence in video games any favor.
Yeah, that's true. But it's definitely far more video gamey show than like Last of Us was. Like, that felt like more a story adaptation, but yeah, this definitely takes all aspects that you'd expect from Fallout, and I think really delivers a really fun and really pretty good show. It's given me the itch to, you know, go back to Fallout in some capacity. I haven't decided which game. I'm thinking maybe trying to get into Fallout 76, but I don't know exactly what state that's in, so
yeah. Let's put a pin in that conversation momentarily. I do want to come back to that. Kieran and Shannon, I think you've watched the first episode so far. Yeah, I see you both nodding. Cool. Kieran, let's come to you. What's been, I guess, your first impression of the show?
I'm enjoying it, like pretty much for all the same reasons that Brody's already described, although obviously I've only watched the first episode. I think the thing that stood out to me the most so far is the set design, like, or just like the production in general. It's a very well put together show.
It looks so expensive.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I think in the behind the scenes stuff I was looking at before it aired, like, the vault was like a practical set. Like, they built like a multi-story vault instead of just like green screening everything, which I think is really cool. And yeah, even stuff like the power armor, which like could have looked really goofy, is like pretty like bang on.
It doesn't have the feeling of like being a fan film or anything like that. It does feel like there's kind of budget and aesthetics to it. And I don't know if it was just like, I was kind of had it on my monitor as I was kind of like half preparing the show notes for today. But there's kind of like, it just kind of feels very filmic, like with the, I don't know if they actually shot it on film, but just there's kind of like the fuzz to it, the grain to it. I just thought it was really nicely done. And I guess, like, given Jonathan Nolan's kind of lineage, and it was Westworld they worked on previously, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just kind of felt like it hit a lot of similar sort of notes. At least back when I watched Westworld, I must admit I did fall off that show.
As someone who liked Westworld as well, though, the only thing I was disappointed about with this show slightly is that there's no real title sequence. Like, there's none to speak of, really. Like, it's basically just, like, pops up with, like, Fallout. But, like, there's no, like, you know, minute-long title sequence with a cool theme or anything like that. So that was one thing I noticed. I was like, oh, that's a shame. But more time for fun action, I suppose.
What did you make of the opening, Shannon? Kind of, like, the setup of, I guess, the kind of pre-Fallout era and the introduction of the vaults?
Yeah, I thought it was really cool. It was very similar to the games. I thought the explosions and how they handled that... really well done. I'm glad they didn't spend too much time dwelling on it. It was kind of just setting it up so you knew sort of what to expect and then straight into it without too long. So I love that whole scene, and sort of everything that happened after that felt very reminiscent of any of the Fallout games that you've played. I really loved the first half of the episode. It was much gorier than expected. Like, some of those kills I had to sort of turn away from, I was expecting them to cut from, but they didn't. Like, they just went for it. Second half of the episode, I probably would need to watch it again because I feel like I missed a few things. But yeah, overall, echo everything that everyone has said, felt very high value. Like, there was some real gamer moments where like they'll hang for like 10 seconds on a thing, but I assume that'll lessen as the episodes go on. It didn't feel too in your face. I feel like if you'd played the games, you would know what that is. If you were just watching it for the first time, you wouldn't think about it too much. And it was all contextually relevant, right? So, I'm excited to watch the rest.
Yeah, I think as an introduction to the series, it starts really quite strong. I did kind of immediately feel the itch to go and play some sort of Fallout game again, having just watched the first episode. And if Brody's still kind of feeling that way after watching the whole season, that's very exciting indeed. But Brody, like you said, you kind of felt like going and playing a Fallout game. Is there one that's kind of front of mind, or do you sort of feel like it's a bit of a missed opportunity to put out something fresh to coincide with the launch of the show?
Yeah, it's a good point, especially like with rumors of, say, Fallout 3 getting a remake or a remaster.
Yeah.
That's sort of been kicking around.
New Vegas too, right? I think as well.
Look, I don't know. I feel like they could easily still use this opportunity to push Fallout 76, because like that has been constantly updated, and it's kind of be like, if you like this story, go create your own in this world. Like, I feel like there would be fun there, but yeah, look, I see the point that they could have easily, well, not easily, games are hard to make, but they could have lined it up with something in that regard. So yeah, I'd say it's a bit of a missed opportunity, but they still have things that they can, or they can even use it to push Game Pass. Like, you can play all the Fallout games here.
Yeah.
I definitely think Fallout 3 would have been the one. Like, I think that's like the first game that changed the series dramatically and was like super mainstream. And like, yeah, I don't think anyone was expecting Fallout 5, but like to remaster that or like just do something with it to bring it up to speed as much as possible, I think would have been a big opportunity. Or even have it announced, like to have something announced that it's on the way, I think would be,
like,
been good.
Obviously Bethesda Softworks are kind of their hands full with Starfield just being out and Elder Scrolls 6, the next cab out of the rank, but... Yeah, like, if I'm not mistaken, right, like, Obsidian had sort of pitched to do, like, another Fallout or, like, a remake of New Vegas.
I assume that they probably wanted to do New Vegas 2, maybe?
Yeah.
I think the guy who's, like, lead on, at least Pentiment, I think his name's Josh Sawyer or something like that.
Yeah.
I think he worked on New Vegas and he probably has some affinity to that. Mm-hmm. I think there'd be a chance for them to maybe tie something in with Season 2 because it's heavily teased.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that would be cool. But you're right, in the meantime, all the Fallout games are on Game Pass, and that's not a bad deal. All right, let's keep moving on with the news. And after the leak last week, the Rogue Prince of Persia, a new roguelite side-scrolling game, was announced from Evil Empire, some of the folks behind... an iconic example of the genre, that is, Dead Cells. I believe Evil Empire kind of produced a lot of the kind of post-game kind of content, some of the add-ons that were released later, but certainly no genre, no stranger to the roguelike genre. Kieran, what do you make of the game? I think you kind of were on the inside on this one, kind of knew a little ahead of time that it was in the works. Is that right?
Kind of. I mean, we had James Wood actually play the game, and you can read his preview on the website. But it sounds cool. And having, like, obviously seen the trailer and the screenshots and stuff, like, visually, it's really interesting. It's kind of like a very lo-fi but very animated look with a really cool color palette. So I like what they're doing there. It kind of feels like, in some ways, an evolution of, like, the original Prince of Persia and that, like, kind of... sort of new spin on platforming. I think, like, one of the coolest things that James talks about in his preview is the fact that you can sort of wall run up any wall that's behind you while you're, like, running around, which is really cool. I think it looks cool. Like, Dead Cells was great, so I have every faith in someone who's touched that series to be able to pull something off in the genre.
And the like, the roguelite genre, does that interest you from the context of a Prince of Persia game? Would it be yours of choice?
I think so. Like, obviously, like, the time mechanics of it all make a lot of sense. Because I think that's, like, how they frame it in the story for this game is that the prince has, like, this artifact that can rewind time. So every time you die, it rewinds, but he has to obviously start from where he was. So,
yeah.
I think it's a great fit.
Yeah, I think it's kind of an IP that lends itself to different genres, and this one does make a lot of sense.
Well, yeah.
Shannon, did you have any thoughts on the art style at all? I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's kind of based off, like, a French cartoonist or, like, a particular line of...
It has a lot of similarities to Tarkovsky, I think.
Right, okay, I'll double-check that. But Shannon, like, what did you make of the art style? It's obviously quite different from what we got in The Last Crown.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like Prince of Persia's always been a game that sort of changed things up with most of the iterations in terms of, like, art style and... mechanics, and I think it's bold, it stands out. It looks gorgeous, so I don't have a problem with it. I like it a lot.
Is it one you can see yourself getting making a start on when it comes into early access next month, rather soon?
Probably not in early access. I really like Dead Cells. Like, of all the roguelites, like, that's the one I've spent the most time with, I would think, across, like, different platforms. I don't know, when it comes to Prince of Persia, like, I do miss the older style of games. Like, I really used to like Prince of Persia back in the day. So, from that point of view, like, I wish that we were seeing more from the franchise. But, yeah, it's hard to complain with the pedigree behind the game and what it is. I'm sure it'll be great. But I hope there's more for the franchise as well.
Yeah. Brody, do you think it's kind of a bit weird, the timing in this one, like, so soon after The Lost Crown? Or does it maybe... is it a sign of, like, a positive future for Prince of Persia as an IP?
I think the fact that the games are so different from each other, I suppose. Like,
Jesus Christ. Something
just fell off your shelf.
Coming for you.
Yeah, no, it was my little Bioshock man. That's okay. Yeah, I think the fact that the games are so different from each other, like, in terms of what their ultimate goal is, I think that probably means that it's not too bad a thing. Like, it's not necessarily a crowded market in that sense. But, I mean, they wouldn't want to release a game, I guess, every 2 months for the rest of the year or something. But, yeah, I mean, they could have maybe held it to mid-year, maybe. But I suppose it is only early access. It's not like it's coming out fully.
Yeah, I think that probably suits it quite well. Like, thinking of what kind of Hades sort of did coming into early access and taking all that community feedback and kind of like having some natural sort of growth and positive sort of word of mouth coming out around it. I think that's probably going to suit this style of thing. And I kind of hope that's what happens with The Lost Crown kind of over the next 12 months or so. Because I kind of hope by the time award season rolls around, that game kind of gets a bit of positive buzz, assuming it stays in people's
I think it was just too expensive. It was like $80 to $100. I can't remember the exact amount, but it was like up there, right? Which is a lot
people
of...
people probably struggle to justify that on like a Metroidvania. They're probably more accustomed to kind of indie titles occupying that space, right?
Hopefully it'll have a long tail.
Yeah, I hope so. I think you can already get it for kind of like $40-$50. It has kind of come down in price a bit already. A mate of mine picked it up, seeing as it was discounted, and is now really enjoying it. So I'm hoping that trend continues, although that is just one person. But yeah, and now that we've got kind of two Prince of Persia games kicking about this year, it did stir up some news about the Sands of Time remake, which is reportedly being completely overhauled, which I don't know if that's the first time that's happened or now maybe the second time. But this game was kind of first revealed, I think, back in 2020, yeah, a good little while ago. It's obviously been we've been hanging on for it since then. Kieran, but like, what's your kind of sense of optimism like for the future of Prince of Persia at this point, and I guess more specifically the Sands of Time remake?
I mean, from like, obviously there rumors and stuff at this stage, but from what like some of those reports and stuff were saying, it does sound like they're taking a more, like, ground up, like, back to the drawing board approach with the remake and actually, like, giving it a new identity and, like, carving out some new ideas for it, which I think is cool. I would be as for that as I would if they just slapped, like, a HD filter on the original and just given us that instead. But it sounds like they're committed to the franchise. Like, with these, like, obviously these two new games and then them putting, like, all this effort into the remake, like, It feels like they're actually, you know, giving it some recognition, which is good.
Yeah, I'm glad it's not kind of going by the wayside. It's getting a bit of love. As someone that is, loved The Lost Crown, it's kind of firmly atop my list of favorite games so far this year. I'm kind of keen to see what they continue doing with it. Speaking of new trailers, though, because there was a trailer for the Rogue Prince of Persia, which I didn't mention. But speaking of new trailers, we got a story trailer for Star Wars Outlaws in the week, which is just a totally butchered segue. But it did reveal August 30th as the release date. Shannon, where is your interest levels at for this game at this point in time?
I think pretty high. I think we said when it was first revealed that, yeah, everything about it looked fantastic. It feels like a true next-gen game. I feel like we don't know a lot about games coming second half of this year, so it's nice to have something in August. Like, I just watched the latest trailer again before this, and it didn't do a heap for me, if I'm being honest, in terms of, I don't know, just felt a bit more of the same.
Yeah.
So that felt a bit odd to me, like when you're having like your main reveal of release date and pre-orders and everything else. But for everything I've seen so far and the few hands-on things that I've read, yeah, sound like there's a good reason to be excited. And Ubisoft need a win, I think we can all agree to. So I think this will be it.
Yeah, I'm excited for the game. I do want to see more outside of these story trailers, because I think the last was... It felt very similar to what we got last time.
Planting. You're looking forward to more planting.
More planting, yeah. Give me some planting and some holo tactics. I'm all about that. Yeah, like, I need to see some gameplay at this point. I do love that it's doing something different. It's not just, like, another Jedi game, you know, with lightsabers and force powers. I'd be disappointed, I think, if it starts to kind of pivot to that in any sort of way. I kind of very much like the idea of it being just, like... yeah, this bounty hunter kind of, smuggler sort of style character, kind of operating on the fringes of the typical Star Wars conflict. And yeah, I think like Massive as well. Like, I'm obviously on the record being a big fan of The Division. I think their particular kind of brand of game could like suit... the Star Wars universe, not saying that it necessarily is going to be like The Division, but kind of taking the same sort of cover-based shooter mentality, that kind of thing. And their world building to an extent. I'm optimistic that they would do a good job with within the Star Wars world. Brody, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm still pretty excited for it. Like, I obviously saw it at Summer Game Fest last year, or at the Ubisoft Forward, I should say, while I was there. And yeah, look, I to your concern, like, I really don't think they would take that route, because they were very passionate about telling that sort of scoundrel story, and like riffing scoundrel. On like the Han Solo sort of thing. So I would say they'll stick that like right through. And yeah, look, I'm really into it. Like you, I'm sort of into the different vibe to like Jedi and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of stories you can tell within Star Wars. And yeah, like, as much as some of the discourse around the game is obviously exhausting. Was there a little bit of a thing about, like, the pricing and all the different versions? I saw a lot of people blowing up about that a bit, but I'm not exactly
are we still,
sure
like,
why.
Was it just because about they were that at this point in time?
Expensive?
There's a... I think the one that rubbed people the wrong way was the Ultimate Edition, like, the digital Ultimate Edition. It was, like, $200.
Right.
Which... I think it comes with, like, the season pass and some extra content and, like, early access.
Okay. Well, luckily they can still buy the normal one and just shut up.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's still there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good.
It's not even... I think the standard one's not even, like, a 125. Like, I think it's, like, $110. So yeah, it's, which like, cheaper than a lot of other games.
In today's economy, pretty standard. So, yeah. No, look, I'm looking very forward to it. I'm surprised that it's... When they said 2024 last year, when I saw it, I thought, oh, that's probably going to be late 2024, might slip. So for it to be around like that August, end of August mark, it's actually earlier than I expected. So, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought this was going to struggle to make this year. I guess I'm still kind of a little bit on the fence. Like, I would have really liked to have seen some gameplay, but perhaps they're just kind of holding that
we'll
for
definitely get that
a showcase kind of around June, July-ish, that sort of period. And then, yeah, kind of all geared up towards release in August. And yeah, like you, Shannon, I'm pleased that there's now something that's kind of filling that slot in my calendar. It's very good. Speaking of Star Wars games, though, the developer of Star Wars Squadrons... And more recently, the Dead Space remake has been moved on to work on upcoming Battlefield projects. Although the studio's work on an upcoming Iron Man game has reportedly not been put on hold. Second part to this story. In light of this news, Jeff Grubb revealed sources have informed him that work on a Dead Space 2 remake has been abandoned after poor sales on the first. But EA then issued a statement to IGN saying there was no validity to that story. So... In summary, we've got Motive being moved over to Star Wars, Iron Man continuing, but potentially a Dead Make 2 remake that may or may not been happening, depending on who you believe in this situation, abandoned. Shannon, I'm going to come to you. What's your take on all of this? Do you think there's kind of any possibility that Dead Space was in the works? Maybe it was killed off real early?
I think it would have been weird for them to do a Dead Space 2 remake. Like, I think they... I can't remember if they said it officially, but I feel like they were doing the remake to test the waters for a new game, and all reports say that it didn't sell well, which is sad to me because, yeah, I think a lot of people love Dead Space, but I don't know why that didn't
work. You especially, right? Like, you're a big Dead Space fan.
Yeah, it is one of my favorites, but I don't... Yeah, for whatever reason, didn't work. Would have loved to have seen a new game. I think I'm particularly sad because they're moving to work on Battlefield, which to me, I feel like this studio should just be working on their own thing. I don't really want to see that happen to them. But yeah, it's sad. I don't really believe the Dead Space 2 remake. Like, I'm sure they were weighing up all of their options, but I don't believe that they were like developing it. If they're saying that, so because very rarely do publishers come out and speak about rumors. So if they've done that, I feel like they must feel very strongly about it, and other people have backed that up since. But yeah, I do think this is probably going to be the end of Dead Space as we know it, as sad as that is.
At least for a good little while. Yeah, I mean, I've actually kind of got much more affinity with the Battlefield series than I do Dead Space. But
of course you do.
I'm not terribly stoked to see kind of what is now a sizable collection of developers kind of all being lumped in to try and salvage the Battlefield franchise.
Yeah, and that's been kind of in the same way as well.
Yeah, like 2042 is just not what people wanted, obviously, kind of like all of the technical challenges aside.
You're not Call of Duty, hun, give it up.
Yeah, it just didn't live up to the content promise, I think, that like kind of people hoped from it. And I admittedly haven't gone back to it in a while. I think it has improved, but you know, there's all this talk now of kind of doing some sort of live, ever-expanding Battlefield
just what everyone
series
wants.
Sort of thing, yeah. Which I just can't see. Just give us Bad Company. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, that was my in on the series. And
maybe they are doing a more story-driven Bad Company.
Well, supposedly they are going to do some more, like, single-player kind of stories in and around the, whatever this kind of expanded Battlefield universe thing looks like, which, like, is cool because, I mean, Battlefield 1 had, like, some really cool, like, single-player elements to it, and obviously the Bad Company campaigns were cool, too, but yeah, I don't like, we've got Criterion working on them now, and that was kind of disappointing enough already for me. So I don't feel like it's the right move. But Kieran, what about you? Do you think there's any merit to this this move?
No, not really. I just don't understand like the mentality of like, oh, this game failed, so we're gonna like stop supporting it, but then we're gonna try again anyway with the exact same thing, or like something similar to what we just did. Like, it doesn't, to me, that doesn't seem like, yeah, I don't know. It must make business sense to them, but I don't think like at a consumer level, it's what anyone wants.
Yeah. I guess they've done the math right and figured we can kind of make more money with Battlefield games than we could another Dead Space. Yeah. You would hope so. What about yourself, Brody? Were you interested in the Iron Man game?
Yeah, and so that's a, like, Motive must be a pretty big company, I suppose, if they're pulling resources away from these games that we're more excited for, I guess. But, yeah, I'm excited for the Iron Man game. Obviously, there's the wish and the dream that it might, like, riff on Anthem to a degree, because they have that tech, I suppose, like, as an EA sort of company. Yeah, look, as far as like the Dead Space thing goes, like, I think what Shannon says is right, is they may not have necessarily been working on it, but that's a damn shame, because the remake was really good, and Dead Space 2 is, in my opinion, a better game than the first one. I really, really fuck with Dead Space 2. It's really, man, what a game. But yeah, so it is a shame. It's a shame to see them probably getting sucked into the Battlefield machine, but yeah, look, ultimately, it'll be what it'll be. Nothing we can do about it except, tell them what we think cry with our wallets, I suppose, yeah, and, and cry into our pillows.
Look, yeah, I'll be pleased if we get some good Battlefield games out of this, but
There's not many good sales stories going around at the moment. Like, they're few and far between that a game, like, exceeds expectations. Like, Helldivers, that's all I can think of. at the moment in recent times.
Helldivers, like, represents such good value for players, though. Like, A, it wasn't... Sorry, here I go again talking about Helldivers.
Game of the year, I feel.
But, like, what was it? $60 at launch? I don't think it was kind of a full-priced release. And I think as far as, like, the seasonal content goes, there's really good return. Like,
yeah.
The new Warbond progression things cost you, like, $15 or whatever. But there's no time limit on those. Like, you don't have to try and grind out the battle pass in the 100 days you're given or whatever. Like,
yeah, again, Dead Space was $120. And I feel like you really have to want to spend $120 in this economy.
In this economy. Yeah. Yeah, you're very true. People are tightening up their purse strings, and rightfully so. All right, I do have a rapid-fire question for you all, kind of in the spirit of starting the show talking about Fallout's TV series. At this point in time, what is your favorite video game adaptation? I kind of had, like, movies and TV shows in mind, but take that question however you prefer. Favorite video game adaptation, Kieran, coming to you first.
I didn't think about this at all.
I didn't read it.
I remember telling you that we needed one, and then, like, that's where I last looked at the document.
All right, you've stole that equally. Now what's your answer?
Shit. Actually, no. Like, the OG Sonic the Hedgehog animated cartoon.
Oh.
Or even Sonic, like, Prime, like, the newer one. Like, both very good.
Right. Do you rate the movies?
And the movies, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. But I think the 90s, like, era cartoon is probably, like, peak for me.
All right. I mean, no prizes for me, but I was very, very thrilled with The Last of Us TV adaptation.
I would have never guessed.
So, shock horror. Shannon?
I was going to say the original Mario movie. I feel like that was a movie from my childhood that I remember prominently. Like, it stuck with me for life. Yeah, that's the first one I can remember, like, playing and then watching a movie for, and it was just blew my mind and impacted my life greatly, I'm sure.
Like, oh my god, these dinosaurs underground can be weird-little-headed guys.
Maybe people out there feel the same way about the Assassin's Creed movie starring Michael Fassbender as well. Who knows? Brody?
Rampage starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, no, look, probably, honestly, I have a very soft spot for the, I'm going to say it's around 1994, Street Fighter movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Big soft spot. Raul Julia as Bison is transcendent in his performance.
Transcendent.
OG Mortal Kombat as well. A shout out for that.
Yeah. Oh, Christopher Lambert couldn't act his way out of a paper bag as Raiden, but look, the rest of it's pretty solid.
We should have another Mortal Kombat movie coming out soon, right? The continuation.
Next year or the year after, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right, now it's time for What the Wiki, the Press Up podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page from an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round ending after a person's bagged themselves 2 points. Brody, I will catch you up on the scoring.
Please.
Because regrettably, James is still in the lead on 12 points.
You've all failed.
Would you believe it's been me that's closed the gap? I'm up to 9 points in second place. Shannon and Kieran are tied in third on seventh, but that's left you in fourth on 6 points, and Harry behind you on 5.
Well, that won't do.
So, yeah, I feel like the kind of biggest movers in the time we've not had you in the show, and that James has been away. Harry's kind of come on the show a couple of times and backed himself a ton of points, which has helped no one really in terms of the title race.
We call it the no Brody era.
Yeah. And Kieran did clean sweep a week, if I'm not mistaken, too. So he kind of moved up into the podium chase.
Pretty swiftly
doing that. But yeah, that's where we are at. I think I won last week, so I've prepped some What the Wiki questions for everyone today.
Even if you didn't, you've done the work, so you may as well read.
All right, game number one. The game was crowdfunded through American crowdfunding website Fig. The developers chose golf as the sport to ridicule, Brody. Saying that it was Brody.
Golf Story.
Not Golf Story.
Kieran.
Oh, Kieran.
Is it What the Golf?
It is What the Golf. Well done, Kieran.
I didn't know that was crowdfunded.
Me either.
Yeah. That was news to me as well, actually. I'd kind of forgotten about it, like, coming to Apple Arcade and stuff, kind of as a launch thingy as well. Which does make it kind of strange that it was crowdfunded, I suppose. Anyhow, I'm stalling as I adjust the scores. I picked that seeing as what the car was, and it's becoming a PC later this year, which admittedly is a game I totally missed. I didn't know that they had done another, and it's already out on mobile devices, but there you go.
Of shit. Isn't there like What the Bat and everything as well?
Oh, really?
Yeah, What the Bat is the VR one.
God, there's
yeah,
a whole it's, What the it's great. Universe.
There's a What the Universe, yeah.
No idea about.
The What the CU.
All right, game number two. The game is an action role-playing video game played from a top-down perspective. At the beginning of the game, the players can create their own player character. Players will collect a variety of weapons in the game, and gears are divided into different rarities. Each weapon also has their own unique movesets, and they can be further enhanced with runes to further boost their combat abilities. Gameplay is similar to a Souls-like game. Players can strike an enemy with their weapons, parry, dodge, roll, and block attacks, though all of these actions will consume stamina. The armor worn by the player character will also affect the player's moveset. For instance, players wearing a set of agile armor will be able to perform a fast quick step, which allows players to evade attacks without consuming a lot of stamina. When the game was revealed in December 2023, I might struggle with this name, Janadai Karol? Co-founder of the studio revealed that they had been Kieran.
Did you have a guess, Brody?
I thought I buzzed in, but maybe you didn't.
Oh, sorry.
I heard you.
Okay, Brody, okay. You're up first.
I'm just going to take a punt on No Rest for the Wicked.
It is No Rest for the Wicked. That's what I was going to say. Well done, Brody. Sorry, I'll need to just adjust my volume levels.
Ewan's
here,
a little
sure
enthusiastic clap there when I got it right. Yeah. Was everything?
He's like, well, I didn't want Kieran a clean sweep. 7 points, Brody. Okay. Game number three. I only picked No Rest for the Wicked because I'm excited for the game.
It's out next week. List. Early access. Let's do it.
Next week, yes. Game number three. The game is a free-to-play construction and management simulation video game released worldwide for iOS devices in June 2015 and Android devices in August 2015, for Windows in July 2016, and for Xbox One in February 2017, and the Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4 in June 2018. The game is also available on Tesla vehicles.
Shannon. City Skyline.
Not City Skyline. No.
Construction Simulator?
Yeah.
Balancing resources such as food, water, and power is an important aspect of the game. Many different rooms can be built, providing different items or stat bonuses.
Kieran. Is it Fallout Shelter?
It is Fallout Shelter. Well done, Kieran.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Obviously, I had mobile games on the mind, and Fallout was out this week. all right, Kieran, with those 2 points that you've bagged yourself this round, you moved up into second spot, tied with me, and you'll be hosting next week. And Brody, you moved up into third on 7 points, tied with Shannon.
How good.
But with that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Kieran.
You can follow me on X at @_BRAUN.
Also joining us today, making his return to the show, it was Brody.
Thank you. You can follow me on most things at @Brody_DG. Go read the Fallout review. Go read the Children of the Sun review and everything else that's out there. There's a lot of reviews out at the minute.
And short on points today, but never short on style, it was Shannon.
I didn't know where that was coming up. I really didn't.
It was very good.
Yeah. See, all of my style, but actually none of it. Shannon Crixie on all the platforms.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxborough. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.